Today's Story Worthy is brought to you by Bose Headphones 700. I'm telling you guys, after all the years I've been podcasting and going to concerts, I am super sensitive to sound. And now I've got the Bose Headphones 700, and they are unbelievable. I'm telling you, the Bose Headphones 700 really deliver when it's time to enjoy your music, work from home, or listen to your favorite podcast like Story Worthy. Bose has improved on what they're most known for, which is, of course, great sound. And now you'll experience an immersive listening experience at any volume with signature active EQ and an impressive bass response. And now you can personalize your environment with 11 levels of noise cancellation. Whether you're listening at low volumes or you really want to crank it up, your music will sound just as it should. To learn more, visit www.bose.com. Hey, it's Christine with Story Worthy. Today on the show, I check in with legendary broadcaster Larry King. I ask him about Trump.
He had enormous ego. Everything dealt with him. He was kind of like a character. He was always great to me. But as a president, oh my God, he is so lacking areas of intellect. It's all about him.
And then I ask him the tough questions like,
okay, now, have you watched Tiger King?
Okay, I got a thing about that show. My son loves it. I don't get it. A tiger rips off a kid's arm, and then they walk around, and there's crazy characters around there, and the public, it's Netflix's biggest hit.
Today on the show, I chat with Larry King about the quarantine, his kids, and his divorce. Stay close.
Hi, my name is Larry King, and you are listening to Story Lady. Don't touch the dial.
Story Worthy.
Hi, it's Larry King. You're listening to Story Worthy. It's a must.
Welcome to Story Worthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you in quarantine in Los Angeles, California. And whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Story Worthy. I hope you guys enjoyed the show last week with comedian Dana Gould. Now, Dana told two really wild stories that I won't ever forget, and you won't either. So go back and listen to Dana Gould from last week, but not today, you guys, because today I'm here with someone who has been on the show before, and he was an expert judge on Story Smash. But you guys know him as an esteemed American television and radio host, the one and only Larry King.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Christine. We're both quarantined, right?
Yes, we are both quarantined. Do you have plenty of supplies?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of supplies. I just got going crazy because I don't go out at all. My son is 21. He goes to the grocery store, but this is the worst. I can't imagine anything like this. Who could have thought this could ever happen to quarantine the country? But it is what it is. I wasn't here in 1918 when that flu spread, so I don't know what that was like. But I know this country has never been in the fix that it's in, and we don't have very good leadership at the top, sad to say. So I hope we can, the best thought I can have is to muddle through.
Yeah, I've been thinking about what you've been thinking, because you've seen so much in your life, especially being someone as active and outgoing as you are.
Luckily, Monday and Wednesday, I get to do my job. They come to the house, they set up the whole thing, and I do interviews from the house. I can at least do that. So at least I'm not outside, but at least have the experience of working.
Sure, sure. But Larry, how many people come into the house?
Oh, no one comes into the house but one engineer. The rest are on their computer screens. So the only people who come to my house are Erica, who takes care of me. She's like part of the house. David, who is the engineer, and my friend Greg, who visits with food occasionally. They all wear masks.
Okay, I am so glad you're being safe.
Oh, you're not kidding. And anyone can get this. No one's immune from it. Rich, poor, Latino, black, Jewish. This virus knows no enemy. It takes everything.
Yeah. How are your boys?
21 is with me. The 20-year-old is with his mother. Chance is at Southern Cal. But he works by internet. He does his work every day.
Ken
goes to junior college, and he doesn't quite have that amount of work to do. Both are great kids. They're great kids. I miss Cannon with me. But, hey, it's good to have Chance. He takes good care of me. In fact, almost too good.
You're such a wonderful father, and I always love seeing you with the boys at the Dodger games.
You will again if they ever return. I grew up a Dodger fan growing up. I'm so glad I showed the boys baseball, took them to baseball games when they were 4 and 3. One of the toughest things about this time is no sports. There's no sports.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts. No sport.
It's really odd.
Oh, yeah. Odd ain't the word. You know, you turn on, where's baseball? Where's the end of the NBA? I don't know how okay, they're going to get to go back too quick. As long as you have this six feet parts, you're going to have a baseball stadium with people sitting 6 feet apart. It's going to be a joke.
So what is the news you're watching, Larry? Who do you trust now?
I watch the network news every night at 6:30, and I watch MSNBC. I know everybody that works. I don't trust Fox at all. And my old homeland, CNN, and I still watch them. I'm a news junkie, but I also found myself of late watching movies. And you know what I mean? It gets to be too much. I can't take it. I got no other course. But I look outside my window. It's such a sunny day here in Los Angeles, as most of them are. And no one's on the street. No one's on the street.
It's so strange. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the gas prices are super low. But who cares? Because no one can go anywhere.
I haven't noticed because I haven't been out. But I would guess they are pretty low. They've cut down on all consumption, sure.
So who's your favorite nightly news anchor right now?
I like the guy on ABC is very good, young guy. I like Brian Williams on MSNBC. I like a few. This is a tough time to be an anchor. You don't bring any good news. You're only bringing bad news. This is just, Kate, we should postpone this interview until another time, because all we're going to do is depress each other.
No. Listen, I want to tell you how much I admire you, Larry. You keep moving forward. And I know you went through a recent divorce, and that's got to be tough. But if you're not happy, you know, you have to get out, yeah?
Yeah, I just didn't work. I mean, we're still friends. But look at it this way, Kay. I'm going to be 86 years old. I've had every disease you could have. I've had cancer. The number one candidate for the coronavirus. What the coronavirus fits, it fits me. Senior citizen, heart disease, diabetes. I wonder how it's missed me.
Because you're taking the precautions.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this about. So I've discovered in life is, at this age, when my marriage was unhappy and we discussed it, at this age, my wife gets mad when I say this. I don't want to do anything I don't want to do. It's selfish, very selfish. I don't want to do anything I don't want to do. Period. So
it makes all the sense in the world.
For someone my age, it doesn't make sense if you're 40. You're 40, you got to visit the in-laws. You know, you're the things you got to do in marriage. You got to put up with things. I don't have to do anything like that. And it feels wonderful. I like being married. We've been married 23 years. She's a beautiful lady. She's only 60. I'm sure she'll meet someone. But right now she's up visiting her folks in Utah with a cannon, and they're quarantined in their house up there. There's nothing like it. I don't know what to bear it on. There's just nothing like it.
Now, do you know if your parents were alive during the 1918 Spanish flu? Did they ever talk about it?
You know, something funny, I never did. They were both alive, both young. I was born in 33. I don't remember anybody ever telling me a story about 1918. Must have happened.
Yeah.
I must have had a lot of stories. But remember, they also had communications vehicle, we now do. There was no television.
That's right. And also, you were so young when your father passed away, you were only 9.
That's been the most telling blow in my life, the loss of a father. Every boy should have a father.
Yeah. And that might be why you're such a good one.
I guess that's good reasoning. Yeah, I guess I am a good father because I never had one. I mean, my father, when I was 9, he died. So I knew him, but didn't really know him. My brother, who just passed away, sadly. My brother was 6. He has no memory of my father. He looked like the actor Dane Clark. He was a good looking guy, and he had a Yiddish voice, Yiddish accent. But he had a very good voice. I must have got my voice from him because he had very deep tones, and he was tough. He was rough on me. He was not easy. I'm a much easier. He was very strict. We used to go to Hebrew school. And one day I didn't go to Hebrew school. I didn't go. So my father's sitting at one side of the table, my mother next to him, I'm next to him, and my brother is on the other side. And he's eating soup. My father, and he says to me, "How was Hebrew school today?" And I lied. I said, "Fine." He didn't say a word. He whacked me across the room. He hit me across the room, and he kept eating his soup. And then he said to me, "Never lie."
I bet it worked, right?
By the rod. It was a different world. You can't do that now.
What was your mother doing?
She was yelling at him, yelling at my father, and coming over to grab me because it was such a shock. He whacked me with the band. I flew out of the chair. And he kept on, mystified me was, he kept on eating the soup. He just kept eating the soup. Don't lie. He kept eating the soup. It was all right. I mean, now it's funny.
Have you told your sons that story? It's a funny story.
They know all my stories. There's nothing to tell my sons. I've told them everything.
I have to say, your voice has gotten better over the years.
Well,
which is
I stopped
so impressive.
Smoking 25 years ago. And the voice had more scratch to it. It's still not perfect. It's not the way I'd like it to be. But I've always been lucky with that. I've never taken voice lessons. I've never had maybe 2 or 3 sore throats in my life. I've been lucky that way. I except for the heart attack. I missed almost no work in 62 years. I went to work because it wasn't really work.
Right, because it's what you wanted to be doing.
It was a joy. I did a lot of comedy, and I did my own television show. It was fantastic to do your own show. And for all those years, 26 straight years in one place on one network, it's all incredible to me. And when I think about it, I look about it, and I sometimes say, "Kate, was that me? Did that happen to a Jewish boy from Brooklyn, whose father died when he was young?" I remember the first time we were international, so anywhere I went in the world, I was known. And we went to South Africa to do some shows, and I'm walking down this village, and this guy sticks his head out of a hut. And she says, "Larry King Live."
That is a terrific story.
Oprah Winfrey tells a story. She's on a safari. And they're in Africa, a photography safari. And it's obvious that the head of the safari doesn't know her. You know, obviously doesn't know her.
Right.
So she said to him, do you know who I am? And he said, no. And she said to him, do you know Johnny Carson? He said, no. She said to him, you know, list of names. And finally he said to her, you know Larry King?
That's a terrific story.
And as Oprah said, that blew her mind. When Ted Turner was such a genius that he was able to put a network on all over the world, and there was nothing like those days at CNN and Riding High and presidents and dictators and bad people and good people. We had them all.
Now, I remember when you interviewed Linda Tripp.
I did. Had my name in all the obituaries in Time, in New York Times. She was the one that came up with the blue dress. Save the blue dress.
Was she hard to interview?
She was a tough lady. I liked her. A lot of people didn't. A lot of Clinton fans certainly didn't. I was a Clinton fan. I liked Bill a lot. But there was something about Linda Tripp I liked. And, of course, she turned out to be right. Found her forthcoming. She had a great story to tell. My God, you can't say what a better story than that about the President of the United States and a blue dress. And she's the one that told to keep the dress. Don't clean the dress.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What a life we've lived through, huh?
I'm telling you, it's wild. Now, what would you say to Donald Trump right now? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he talked to you.
He did come on when he was running. Well, I'd known him for 40 years. I must have interviewed him 20 times.
Yeah, you've had a good relationship.
Very good, but I never thought president. I mean, you know, he was fun to be around. He caught me at all his hotels. He had enormous ego. Everything dealt with him. He was kind of like a character. And as my friends and I would have dinner with him and stuff, he was a character. When I had some small surgery in New York, he took my wife to dinner the night before. He was always great to me, but as a president, oh my God, he is so lacking in areas of intellect. It's all about him. Now, it's okay to be all about him if you're, but it's not okay to be all about him if you're president. And it's all about him. This is all about him.
He doesn't have the skill set. He never
did.
Right.
He's a businessman.
I mean, we need a public.
You know what
servant.
He's in? He's in over his head.
Yeah.
And we bear the brunt of that. You know. Yeah. So I'm only hoping that wise lips persuade him somewhere. I don't see that happening because when you deal with Donald, everything has to do with how he looks. Every move he makes is, will he be reelected? You know, there's that joke of his wife said to him, God, I'm cold. And he says, you can call me Donald.
That's
Donald
funny.
Trump.
Hey, listen, what are some of the shows you've been watching while you kill time in quarantine?
I watch the new shows. I watch Seinfeld every night. I watch Repeats.
That's
most brilliant. That's such a brilliant show. That crew, they did an incredible job. The laughs were incredible. The show about nothing.
Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah, super funny.
So it's really, well, he's a genius. That show has no script. Everybody the scene, they play out the scene, then they edit out the best parts, but it's all their own feelings.
Okay, now, have you watched Tiger King?
Okay, I got to think about that show. My son loves it. Loves it. The New Yorker magazine just reviewed it now for 4.5 pages. I don't get it.
Wow.
I don't get it. A tiger rips off a kid's arm, and then they walk around, and there's crazy characters around there, and the public, it's Netflix's biggest hit. And, you know, certain things, maybe I have to look at myself. What did I miss? I missed something here. Because first of all, I'm Jewish. Tigers don't thrill me. This kid put his arm in the tiger's nest. The kid is nuts. Nuts.
No, I mean, it's okay. A lot of people hated the Tiger King. You're not the only one. Larry, I am encouraged by you, and I am so glad to see you're still doing the show.
It's on YouTube. It's on Aura. It's on Hulu. I'm all around, just I'm not on the big networks, you know, but all together. We have an enormous viewership, especially overseas. We got millions overseas. We lead the world in viewership.
Well, over 60,000 interviews is a lot of interviews.
Damn is. I didn't miss many. Oh, what a day. Now, another big day. I got a big day coming, Kay. I ought to tell you about it.
Okay, let's hear it.
This will be over in a couple of minutes. I'm going to have a little lunch. Then I'm going to do my exercise, walk around the park, walk around the house. I walk around my apartment with a walker. I had a stroke last March, and the only thing it left me with, I can't walk on my left foot.
And what is wrong with the left foot?
What do they call it? Drop foot. So I worked with the therapist, but now he can't come. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. I can move it around. It's just when I step on, I can walk with a walker, which is fine. And when we go outside, I'll take the walker. And I'm learning to walk with a cane. I don't care if the left foot never comes. By the way, left foot is of no use unless you're walking. Look at your left foot. Look, what does your left foot do for you? Nothing but walk. But you don't appreciate your damn left foot until you don't have it. And that's true of so many things in life. We don't appreciate it until we don't have it.
Listen, I admire you so much, and I am just so thrilled that you're doing all right, and I just want to wish you the very, very best, Larry.
Stay safe, to you. Okay? I'll think about you. I'm trying. Thanks, Sonny. Great talking to you.
All right. One more time, on behalf of the legendary Larry King, thank you so much for coming on the show, sir.
Thanks, Sonny.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Story Worthy on iTunes and visit the Story Worthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.